Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and Superdeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed it. Anyway, you'll find a way.
Catamaran home!
Well, after a host of technical difficulties were away, I got a new Zoom recorder so that I could have more microphones. And because we want to have more guests on the pod. Now there's visual difficulties and GarageBand's not doing what I want, but I tell you who is doing right by us here on the program today. It's our friend Amos Gill.
Hello, everybody.
And we are... I want to start that again. There's no... We'll just power on.
No visual component, no again. And I would suggest I'm one of the more visually appealing people you have on this podcast.
Are you saying I've got some chunksters and some grouse...
You've had some real hogs on
some
here.
Some wobblers and some stinkers and some deformed people.
Tubby wubby chubby wubby fatzos, I hear.
We're here in Washington. I'm doing a gig. I almost wanted to come along and see our sweet nation's capital at Washington, D.C., mine.
I bought a pair of khaki slacks and a polo Ralph Lauren sweater.
Yeah, you dressed up for it.
I had nowhere to wear it, so I said, take me to Washington and let me cosplay as a demonic little neo-lib.
Well, I tell you, I actually did buy a suit last week at a Goodwill. I found a man in San Antonio. Well, I found his clothes. The man I suspect was dead, and he was my perfect body double, and he's donated everything. So I now have all these beautiful suits, and it was such a disturbing night the night before
if
we came out.
If that's an old man...
I left it.
He must have been morbidly obese for his time.
No, usually you don't get 1970s patterns in this size. But we had a disturbing night that...
Did we?
I did. The night before I came out, I didn't sleep. So there was a man in the park. I'm recounting this story, just exposing me as a total idiot. And I think this was a rough sleeper down in his luck. And he asked if he'd noticed that my yard was disheveled. And he said, do you want some yard work? I said, sure. He said, I'll rake your leaves. I said, all right. He said, I'll do it first thing tomorrow morning. $120. I said, sure. He said, can I have half
already
now?
Very expensive.
I mean, I don't
to
know.
To rake leaves?
It's a lot of leaves. It's every leaf that's fallen in my yard this year.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah. I don't know how much the writer's amount, but, you know, he... This was not the problem. The problem was at night when I went to clean my house, the studio I was tidying up ahead of someone coming to stay. He was there at midnight, sitting right out front of my door in the darkness. And I didn't spot him at first. But then I did. I said, ah! And he said, hey, man, I'm just going to wait here so I can do it bright and early. And I said, will you give me a minute? And I went outside to Taylor and she went, why'd you scream? I'm right here. And I said, yeah, this that guy. And she went, you've done this badly, James.
There's, you know, there's turning up early for work where it's commendable. 10 minutes, early minute, finish your coffee, have a cigarette. 8 hours early becomes frightening.
It's too early. So I paid him the rest of the money.
Well, he was going to sleep in the soft leaves before he had to.
He said, you can just give me a blanket out here. And I said, I'm sorry. Because my family's there and we're very scared and we hadn't had this conversation. I said, you've got to go. But you've done the right thing. I was really trying to get behind him. So I said, so I'll pay you the rest... for the job. He went, well, don't get anyone else to do the job. I still want to do it. And I said, you can do it next week during the day. But we can't have this now. But then we were terrible. I mean, I've got a wife. I've got kids.
James looked at him and said, well, I'll be out of town touring. So it'll just be my wife here alone with my children.
Yeah, I left that out.
I'll leave the key under the mat.
I didn't go into detail on that. But I would like, when a person's in trouble, when a person isn't... necessarily housed in the way that they would like to be, and they want to work. What, do you not give someone that opportunity?
Well, how homeless did he look, or did you just...
Clean shoes. Yeah. Not high fashion by any means, but I noticed he was tidily attired. And I think we've since found out that he's one of a couple of persons who just hang out in the neighborhood. And they're apparently harmless. They just get very drunk. And
I mean, if he's very threatening...
No, he wasn't threatening at all. He was lovely.
So it's just scary that he's there.
Scary that I opened my door and there was a man camped out front of my
house. Did he have a rake?
He was the... Taylor asked me this as well. She said, well, did he get a leaf blower?
Did he have equipment?
He did not. I had also been to Home Depot to get the bags and he said, don't worry about a rake, I'll get a rake.
He's like, I got pockets and two hands. It might take me a while, but we'll get it done.
I liked his spirit. That was clearly... I mean, I get increasingly why Americans have this cold... hostile, not looking at, not engaging with the homeless. Is it because it feels like a dangerous country?
James, you know what they say, buy a man a rake and he'll rake the whole neighborhood and make $100 a house.
Oh yeah,
don't give him the money,
genuinely
give him the rake. Go down and buy him the rake.
The concern was that he would be a rakist and he would rake my family while I wasn't there.
He's been raking everybody.
There's too much raking going on. It was a scary thing. So we got cameras and we installed them, and my wife has spoken to the neighbors. And this is the shout out that I'd like to give. So I was leaving the next morning, and we wanted someone to be there in the morning so that she could help look after, whoever it was who came over. I called so many people. I called 5-6 Americans. None of them would do it. Now, some of them called me back later and said, listen, if you can't find anybody, give me a call back. And those people I remember beautifully. And some people had to travel the next day, and that's fine too. And one person didn't give a reason and just said, no, I'm not doing that. And I thought, keeping that in mind for future who's got you back. You can't help but put that in the filing cabinet. But I'll tell you who came to the rescue. The most successful comedian in Australia, Luke Kidgel, had done a spot at the Mothership that day, and he came from his presumably economic hotel. He doesn't live up. Big fancy life, and he came and stayed at my house and looked after my family while I went. And that's a gent, and so we shout out Luke Kidgel. Not just a success, a good man.
And do we know the name of the rakist?
I'm not going to say his name.
Why?
Apparently he goes by several names. Well, he may still yet become a friendly neighborhood buddy.
You think he'll turn his gardening business into a success and become a Patreon?
I have nothing but positive things to say about this man, other than the fact that he scared the living daylights out of me by encamping. Which is, moving forward, not something that... we might have to talk to the landlord about getting a fence put up.
Yeah.
Yeah, or moving...
Well, out. I know a guy who can put up a fence for about $140.
Oh, is that right? He just needs half now and half at midnight!
He gets there early and he starts the job. A lot of these contractors will tell you, will be there sometime between 10 and 4. He's like, I'll be there now. As in...
I'll be there at 4 in the morning before the tent.
I'll see you tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Why start something tomorrow what you can do right now?
Never put off till tomorrow what absolutely must be put off till tomorrow. As the old saying goes, he was a sweet man. I didn't get a violent vibe off him, but you never know with someone who's camped out front of your house when that could pivot. And I will also
say... You've always had this thing where you are completely unable to repel people.
Well, I'm not repelled by them. I don't experience
disgust. No, by repel,
disgust.
I mean...
Yeah.
It's not even about disgust. You don't have any ability to sort of, hey, mate, how you doing? Good to see you. And then kindly move on. You are a
You're
magnet
having a dig at me for when we
people.
Would like walk around Rundle
yes.
Street in Adelaide. And
my whole life with
chats.
You.
Yeah.
I'm wandering around and you just...
I'm a gregarious fellow.
You're like a lollipop dropped in the gravel. You're just covered in unpleasant things.
Yeah, I don't believe in cutting people free, even when they just merely say hello. You know, every friendship I've lost has, I think I'm right in saying this, been the other person's call, except maybe one or two of all the friendships. Yeah, I don't do it. You know, sometimes I lose touch or I get busy, but I never want to... I take it back. I've got about 10 now that I'm thinking back on people that I've ruthlessly hacked out of my life. But I'm a very well acquainted man.
Well, you know, I have a lot of animus with many people.
Oh yes, Amos Gill responds exclusively to personal animus. We had someone said today about a famous person.
A famous.
They said, and you, who you were expressing praise for, and they said, "Ah, that person is entirely motivated by personal animus." And I think that was meant to be a put down, but I could see Amos went, "Ah, there's another one out there, only driven by hate, by the fire of hate, the bosom."
He was like, he said it in a very offhanded way.
You mean
like,
that I too can achieve things as great as this with my personal animus?
He's like, yeah, this guy, you know, he's immoral because he really doesn't believe anything. He just builds a philosophy around who he hates.
Tell me more about this special new way to have a philosophy.
That's me. That's what sculpture is. It's getting rid of all the gross bits and you're left with something beautiful.
We saw an incredible sculpture today.
Which one? Johnny Cash?
I wanted, so, dear sweet listener, the Capitol building that we went to and saw today, and it would have been a very good one to take some videos.
We didn't storm, we sauntered through with a guide.
They let us right in. The security guard was literally saying, come inside.
It was another FBI inside job.
It was, excuse me. Every state gets two statues, which is nice. So Arkansas has sent Johnny Cash. Why they've not put up Sam Walton, I'll never know. And the Philadelphians have an Anglican priest readying himself for war. The Hawaiians have the most...
Kamehameha.
They have Kamehameha and a leper priest. But what jumped out to me was the women's suffrage statue that you saw.
Oh, this was great. So there's a women's suffrage statue, and on it they have three carved heads. Now, those people are... Let me look. It's not that important. Lucretta Mott, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony.
Oh, I've heard of Susan B. Anthony.
Yes. And the portrait was done by Adelaide Johnson. Shout out to Adelaide. But in the statue, there is a big part of the stone up the back that looks like it hasn't been...
There's a fourth person carved. Who hasn't been carved
like,
in.
It looks like someone should be carved in. And we were told by the guide that they had intended that would have become Hillary Clinton.
But she's a loser, so they decided not.
Then it would be Kamala.
Yeah, also a loser.
Also a loser, so they've just left it there.
I hope it's not a big fat woman who wins the presidency, because there's not a lot of marble left.
It'll be a it's going to be a generous carving for whoever gets it. I can already see them
it's so weird. Just
shaping Tulsi Gabbard's head in there.
Oh, it's a big lump. The only reason I know Susan
B. Anthony...
She's
got to walk past that, by the way.
I think there are Susan B. Anthony dollars or something, and that was in a Powerpuff Girls episode. But the reason I know it is there's a rap group who I spoke about on the last podcast from Milwaukee. But their album is called A Dog's Life. It's Aioli and some other ones. Anyway, there's a line in the song. Have I played this to you?
Yeah.
It's over Somewhere Over the Rainbow, the ukulele version. And then it comes in with like a big rap beat. But one of the rap lyrics is... Man, I love bitches. Susan B. Anthony.
And sorry, your phone's going off. It's distracting to me.
That person can be spoken to later after they were not helpful during the trouble.
Really?
No, I'm joking. I'm having a fun time.
Well, why doesn't she atone by raking
or
some leaves?
You know, I don't begrudge anyone not doing it, but it was... I'd made a bad situation by...
Leaving Australia where we don't have crazy people that come and offer you?
Listen, it's all my fault, all right? You can't hold it against people for not... But it was some people did say...
Get a gun!
They really went, I'm going to help you, even though I don't want to. And I'm very grateful to those people. And I think it's odd in life when you really need something and it's 11:30 and you call and say, ah... You want someone who's going to go, even though it's negative. And I'd like to be the kind of friend who, if I had a friend who was that deeply retarded that they orchestrated a vagrancy situation.
Do you think I would have done that for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that at that time of night you would have picked up the phone. You would have gone, ah, sorry, man. Do not disturb.
Sorry, I was watching it.
You disturbed me.
I was watching a Tucker documentary. Line in the Sand. You watched that yet?
No, what happens in Line in the Sand?
It's the Project Veritas guy, James O'Keefe.
Oh, yeah.
And he embeds with the convoy of immigrants that go from the Dorian Gap and jump on trains.
Oh, he comes with them to America.
He follows the journey. So it starts off with them jumping on a train, and it's got like a coal train.
Yeah.
And so they're in like covered in pellets of coal, and they travel from the south of Mexico up to the north, and he just embeds in and then gets across the border and shows how they cut through the fence. And nice. Then the border security takes them in buses.
Oh, finds them.
Finds them. They want to be found because they get given a backpack with a destination.
What?
It'll be like Raleigh, North Carolina. It'll be some town in Idaho. They go to a processing center. They're given a cell phone. And then they're dropped off at the airport and they fly to their new home.
Is James O'Keefe...
Project Veritas.
Yeah, but is he pretending to be Mexican with them?
He tries to be everything.
Oh, see? Hold on, someone's calling me. I'm sorry. Nah, it's just a telemarketing call.
So anyway, you watch how the border security people, they feel very ashamed. They keep saying, we're just doing our job. We're not allowed to really enforce the border. That's what we've been told to do.
James O'Keefe there is like, oh, see? Border?
But as an Aussie whose visa is...
Planned Parenthood? I make a follow-up.
My visa is coming to the end, and I used to be so afraid of American security. I remember them being like, don't put up a picture of you visiting a comedy club if you're here on a tourist visa, or you'll be banned forever. And then you watch these documentaries where people wander across the border. And it's not just all Mexicans.
They don't want the white-collar ones.
There's Turkish guys there.
Yeah, that's the way we should have come in. We could have saved tens of thousands of dollars of moving to this country.
And they get a fast track program to become citizens.
The green card?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. And everybody knows it. And I've never seen a good defense of this system.
Actually, I've got a good defense. At least those gardeners coming across the border turn up at a reasonable hour. I've never had a man from Honduras come to rake the garden at midnight.
I wish him well. I wish him well. It was obviously weird. He was having a hard night. And he needed somewhere to go. And I've given him a big lump of money. I don't know how to prudentially incorporate the neighborhood homeless into my life, which I think we're called to do, but also to keep my family safe. If a man says he wants to work and I need work done, and I don't have reason to believe that he's not going to be able to do it except for the fact that he is probably homeless. But he wants to work. Don't we owe him the chance to... scare the crap out of us at midnight?
Listen, I think this would be much easier if you did just have a fence. Your house is very walk-inable.
And possibly...
And you're not an imposing
possibly
figure.
Possibly we have a gun.
I don't look at you and
I'm
think...
I'm not coming out and saying one way or the other, but possibly we do
don't
have
fuck
a gun.
Don't with this guy.
Now, that's the only swear word that I'm going to allow because I can't edit it out on this software.
This homeless dandy... I mean, that's the other thing about you. You dress so poorly. This man saw a kindred spirit.
I will say, I wore track pants... through and the capital, and I wore a denim jacket and track pants and gray sneakers and a button-up shirt. It's a wild look, and no one treated me weird at all. Did you notice that
today in the capital? No,
no. It's just like that's well, American.
Mate. Once they saw the buffalo head man,
yeah,
QAnon shaman really lowered the dress code.
Window of fashion has shifted dramatically.
They thought there was a gentleman from Kentucky.
The gentleman will rise. We heard about
you've the West Virginian. You've got beautiful founding father hair at the moment. It's like long at the back.
Flowing.
Staying
luscious. Nothing rhymes with luscious, does it? In the bushes.
So what was the takeaway you had from being at the Capitol? This is your first time in D.C.
I have
before.
Things to say about it. I'd always thought of Washington as a small and sort of insignificant, like a place that was outside of its glory. I'd heard all these things about it's the richest zip code in America.
Yeah, Bethesda, all the weapons contractors and lobbyists. And
you know, you see the dramas in the building and whatever. But there's so much talk and articles and whatever about like how politics really works in America is in boardrooms by the corporations who are buying, and these people are puppets. Who basically don't have agency. They are just the figureheads that international capital flows through. But being there and seeing it, and I know this is what it's designed for, it makes me go, the US government is very powerful. They are making the decisions.
And everything is so clean.
So
and
clean, so
idyllic,
nice. The most
the red
charismatic
brick homes.
Black people showing you around the building. Oh, do you want to sit there? All right.
And where do you come from, sir?
Australia.
We love you in Australia.
We love Australia. See up on the back there? That's Moses. He looking forward because he receives the law directly from God. That's something I heard being said.
But no, they,
everybody else's face is turned to the left or the right. Moses looking straight forward.
If you spent all your time here, you wouldn't know that there's problems in the United States, for sure. It is so...
Yeah, we've been walking around the...
Perfectly clean
the airport
and...
around... was that Alexandria? The old town? It's so rich. It's so nice. And the parallel experience, I would say, was with Bentonville, which is the small town that the Walmart family are setting up. And it had the similar... The lamps were the same. The facades were similar. But it's like... That's like what you can do with profit and a business.
But hear me out.
Nothing compared to the wealth you can have over time with empire and spoils.
You know how the Super Bowl is in a different city every year?
Yeah.
I think Congress and the Senate and the President.
Every year?
Should be a tour. And nice. Every year is a new city that they have to run the center of government from.
Nice.
So they can really get a feel of what's happening in their country. They could do it in Kankakee, Illinois for 1 year. They could do it in small town Illinois where the factories have closed. And in the factory, they
Let's
make...
Let's take this show on the road.
That'd be great. Also, yep. Because then the contractors yeah. who follow these scumbags around
yeah.
would enrich all the different cities that government is moving
I mean,
around
security
to.
People would do very, very, very well.
And that's how you would slowly make all these American towns better.
And if you were waiting to invade America, you would just wait until they were on the Santa Monica Boulevard, you know? Don't have them too far inland. They're going to be right on the coast. And this year, we're in Hawaii with all the senators. And China's like, ah, yes, we'll just surround that with the...
We don't
areas.
Even need an ICBM. We can just lob this one in pretty quick. No, but I think maybe that could be something.
How beautiful is our capital in America? How beautiful is the dollar?
I love how you're saying our... I thought you meant Canberra.
Oh, no. Ours is in Australia, is one of my least favorite architectural.
You throwing shade at Burley Griffin?
Man, Burley Griffin ain't.
Burley Griffin ain't.
That's the second swear word. I enjoyed taking my children to Canberra.
It's the same here, though. It's like little school trips.
Yeah, a lot of school
a lot
trips.
Of bored children wandering around.
God, I love that architecture. They've just built the Parthenon over and over again. I didn't get to go in today, but I'm hopeful tomorrow to go into the Supreme Court. They were sitting this morning. We missed it. If we were up earlier, we could have gone and seen
yeah.
our sweet Supreme Court. I love the Supreme Court. It is my favorite branch of the government.
Isn't it interesting, though, that the neoclassical architecture, it is just the Greek. And we
siphoned through the Roman. Yeah.
Yes. And so the Greeks kind of just... Nailed
very
that
little
one.
Etruscan
they did
influence.
That one. They did that one style.
What do you think of this? It's a column.
The only difference was that America put their bit on, because you know you got the Ionic column, the Dorian,
yeah,
all those different style Corinthian.
All the
they
modes.
Put corn husks,
yeah,
at the top
of
their pylons.
Of the old Supreme Court.
Yeah, they have corn husks, but the Greeks offered us that architecture, and no one's really bothered to do anything different.
But how are you going to do something other than a column? Once you've got the column.
No one went like, we'll build pyramids.
Yeah, I mean, some of that I think is physics. And like,
but they could have had
saving
like,
materials.
They could have done the Supreme Court in a pyramid.
No, seriously, how come no one has like special hover roofs? Just a ceiling that floats.
Whoa, hold on.
What if you have one, listen to me, one big post, four chains that hold up a type of tent on top.
I think you'll find the new government seat of the Confederacy, Bass Pro World, is in a pyramid.
Oh,
they
man.
Know what's up.
I got to go to a big, it wasn't called Bass Pro World, but it was like an affiliate.
And Bass Pro has it has a pyramid.
This one, I've seen that one online, but I got to go to one just outside. It was near Buda, just outside of Austin. And it was so big that there was a... Like a fiberglass mountain inside.
Mate, store. I've gone to the one in with Springfield, Missouri, which is the home. It's
yeah.
the first store.
How was
it?
It
was a bait shop there.
How was it?
Well, it has the gallery, a hunting gallery. Yep. So the biggest bucks shot in every state.
Did they
the
use
stuff
this terminology?
There.
Gun library.
Well, they
this
had
one
the,
had a
well,
gun
this one had,
library.
This one had the Second Amendment Hall of Fame.
Nice. The gun library didn't have any books, by the way. It was just old guns.
This is just like that.
Second Amendment Hall.
What's the guy's name? Johnny Morris. Johnny Morris is the owner of this, and he lives in that small town. It's a fascinating place. They've also got Bass Force One there.
What?
Bass Force One
their
is...
their jet?
No, Bass Force One is a fishing boat that George W. Bush used to go fishing
like
in.
That.
And they have it in the museum.
I respect that.
It's his fishing boat.
But there was an aquarium at this one, and this was really weird. This made the whole family feel funny.
Well, they've got an aquarium at this one as
the
well.
The fish was still...
It's in gelatin.
So some of the fish were swimming around, and then I don't know if there's just this kind of a fish in America or if the fish was so depressed. They're a big fish and not a huge
I like to
thing.
Think that the rich people who owned it were like, I can't see the fish. They move too quick.
It moves too quickly.
Make the liquid more viscous so they struggle.
Pour more flour into the fish tank. Viscosify fish. Fish was not meant to swim faster than I could see.
Yeah, the guy, you know how I got a great tour of it because
how you fish, right? You know, you want them to bite on the hook.
Yeah.
This one, you do it more like the claw game where you lower the hook and you have to insert it into the fish.
Man, you just blindly put your arm in
it. It was horrifying, the stationary nature of these fish. I don't know if that's
I gave this guy a guest spot at the comedy club.
Yeah.
I said, what do you do? He says, I'm a marine biologist. I said, well, you live in Springfield, Missouri. How's that the case? And he goes, I pretty much run the aquarium at the Bass Pro World. And he goes, you want to see backstage?
Backstage
at the Bass Pro Aquarium. So we just wandered around and we filled up buckets of fish that we threw in there to feed the various animals.
Yeah. Hold on, what's the lowest? That is a backstage, right? What's the worst backstage possible? The aquarium at a gun shop would be up there.
What? As in behind the curtain?
You get to do a gig and I can say, I'll show you the green room. Show the backstage or the theater, but backstage.
I don't know. I think in that town, people are big fans backstage. Of it. You can, because he's like this. If you want, we can give the stingrays a pat.
No, our countrymen don't do that.
I said,
I was
is
ahead
that a
of
threat?
You gave me a softball. I appreciated it.
Come on.
Let's take a moment to remember the great Australians who have made it in America. Steve Irwin, Bluey,
Paul Hogan.
Of course, they know him better than we do. Paul Hogan. Savage Garden had some hits here. INXS, AC/DC.
Jim Jefferies.
Of course, Jim Jefferies. We can't say Dame Edna. They never got Dame Edna. I saw Dame Edna on Conan
Chris
once.
Lilly.
No one got it. They love Chris Lilly. Yeah, we turned our
Who
backs
else we got? Who else we got there?
You know, if we go actors, we'll get so many more. Yeah. Hugh Jackman.
No, never do the actors. Thank Let's you. Get outside of that.
Margot Robbie. I think she's just had a
Mel
baby.
Gibson, I like to claim.
He is American by birth, but...
raised in...
I love you,
the
Mel.
Foundries of NIDA.
I love you, Mel. If you're listening, Mel. I love Mel. Who else have we got? Hemsworth, one. Hemsworth, two. Heath Ledger. All right. I went back and watched The Dark Knight again on a flight a month ago. It's one of the five best movies ever. I've watched it so many times. I love The Dark Knight. Big controversial take.
I think I watched it 9 times in
it's
the cinema.
It's so good. Most seen movies I've ever seen would go Dark Knight, number 2. Number 1, Gone Girl. Really helped me work through some feelings about a relationship that I had. Yeah, that's how I knew I was in a very bad relationship is I saw Gone Girl and I went, of course. That's exactly what it was like when we were together.
What does it say about me that I kept watching The Prestige over and over?
You want to commit suicide. It's a happy ending for you.
I want to drown. You know where? You want to in drown the aquarium. Yourself.
What? This guy
Bass
gets
Pro
to kill himself
World.
Over and over again? What is it? Christmas every day? I hated The Prestige. I was like, why didn't he just make one version of himself and then hide the other
I
guy?
I knew a bloke once. He was a sailor.
He lied. He said it was agony.
It was the worst thing he'd ever experienced.
Master Wayne.
Well, that's because David Bowie forced himself into that movie.
What?
He played Nikola Tesla.
Did he insist?
I mean, he.
If
how
you
was
get
he,
David Bowie to be Nikola Tesla in your movie,
how
you
was
do
he?
It.
He is not. He was Nikola Tesla is a Croatian.
Hello,
man.
I'm David Bowie.
Serbian, if you want to be accurate, but we like to claim him in Croatia.
Do you?
Yeah, he's a, really is a Serb, but he was born in what is Croatian territory.
Ah.
But then David Bowie was just in there.
It was good. I mean, he's not a terrible actor. Back when David Bowie was still walking around inventing lightning and duplication devices. You know what I started watching recently was Stuart Little. And I'd just like to bring that up because it was directed... It was written by M. Night Shyamalan. It's one of his first big directorial pieces. It's a really well-written movie. There are jokes that go straight to the parents over the kids' heads. That I didn't pick
I
up
just remember time. My dad being telling me he was always horny for the... What was the woman's name in that?
Oh, she's a... Yeah, she's good.
What's her name? Is it?
I don't know who it is, but you know who the man is? The father's Hugh Laurie.
It is Hugh, yeah.
But here's one of the jokes that goes over the kids' heads. The little parents are going to adopt a child. It's like the opening mm-hmm. scene of the movie.
And they choose a mouse over a child yeah, that's
but,
desperate?
But before that, before they choose the mouse, they go, well, are you looking forward to being here and picking out a child? And Hugh Laurie's character goes, oh, yeah, we're tingling. And the wife goes, with excitement. Isn't that... That's a good pedo child adoption. Isn't that something? It could mean anything, mm-hmm. but it could mean that. I loved. And then here's what I hated. I was watching it on the Roku.
Is this to watch with your children?
Yeah. So I put it on and it says Stuart Little brought to you by Walmart. It's a watch along. And I thought, I don't know what the... Maybe they'll just have some ads, you know?
Like what you can buy the products TV. That you see.
Man. So what it opens
Mouse traps.
With is like 3 minutes of light banter from the most characterless Walmart representatives mm-hmm. of, you know, we got a couple different races in there, a couple different, you know, a man and a woman, very light, very bubbly. Wow. Hey, Darren, I just love watching Stuart Little, right? And they're just having a fake conversation about how excited they are to watch mm-hmm. Stuart Little. And then they're like, and this is brought to you by Walmart. And then Stuart Little starts. He goes, all right, that was a little like at the movies introductory section of like, whatever, you know, James Lipton introducing a film or whatever. We used to have that in Australia. Then a few minutes in, they go, wow, the people are back on the screen. They go, wow, Stuart and his family are having a hard time getting along. And the other one's like, yeah, that cat did not like Stuart, whatever. And they go, and it's coming up to Christmas time, and they're all getting presents. They go, everyone's getting presents in this scene. It's nice to get presents. Christmas time is coming up. Do you know what I think would be a good gift for Stuart? Is this Hot Wheels set. And they go, yeah, the Hot Wheels set would be fantastic. And then they go, if you click to the kids, if you click the middle button on your remote.
Yeah, you can order it.
You can order it. And then they cut back to the movie. And then just a couple more times, they
but who would product choose? Placement. Why did you put that on?
I was looking up where I could watch it for free on the Roku. I didn't know what the Roku channel was. I usually just use YouTube TV and your Netflix and your Disney Pluses. It happened to be there. I didn't know what a watch along was.
I watched Eyes Wide Shut on Amazon. It had the same feature.
Isn't this fun?
It was dark.
Yeah. What a beautiful key bowl they're using for that orgy.
What a face mask.
Our friends at IKEA have bowls.
Would anyone like to order some pizza?
In this scene, it's thought that Tom Cruise might have been drugged to forget what happened the day before. If you'd like some roofies, press the middle button on your remote.
Yeah, I've seen it with my girlfriend's been watching like a Below Deck or something, and the girls on it go on a night out, and you can pause and see what their outfit is.
Wow, Bruce Willis got out of a rough one there. But if you'd like a rough one yourself, you can pick up a gimp suit by pressing the middle button.
Yeah. Stanley Kubrick was killed after making this film. Life insurance.
There you go.
Is your family protected?
Wow. Tarkovsky's Stalker is one of the most moving pictures, and everyone died of radiation poisoning shortly afterwards. If you'd like to get together with our friends at... What's that company? What's that? Greens? Something Greens?
Which Greens?
Oh, just all those vitamin
Athletic
companies.
Greens?
If you buy Athletic
AG1.
Greens, they can reverse some of the cellular damage from time you've spent walking around a nuclear reactor, making a metaphysical exploration of the Russian self.
Yeah, I mean, that's the future of content for us all, is no ads before, no subscription.
Good luck being content when that happens.
Buy inside the product.
No, I don't like it. Django Unchained. Yeah. These guys are having a hard time down at the plantation. If you'd like a slave...
Whips from Home Depot.
I like the way you die, boy. That was a Smith & Wesson Colt 45.
I mean, if people listen to this podcast, what do they get advertised to them? Zin?
Yeah, well, I gave a Zin to the possibly homeless man.
Are you zinning still?
Yeah. Well, I'm on the ons, but I had one. I had a nicotine pouch.
Are you going to be buying Alp?
The guy out front... No, I don't care to make my nicotine purchases political. the guy who was sitting out front of my house...
But the people that make Zin hate you, and they hate your family.
Yeah, sure.
Why do they go for Kamala Harris?
Well, why do they make such a beautiful product? The guy asked for a cigarette. This is one of the reasons I liked him, and I didn't feel too scared. If my wife had seen this, maybe she wouldn't have been so... upset. He said, "You got a cigarette?" And I said, "No, but I got these nicotine patches. It feels like a cigarette." And I gave one to him, and we kept talking. And 30 seconds later, he went, "Ah," and he took it out and he went, "That's very strong." And I thought, "I'm tougher than a man sleeping rough." No, I thought
you alphaed him over.
I just felt sad. I felt sad that I couldn't even give this man a cigarette, and he clearly wanted the work. And how can we help?
It doesn't have the same...
I feel so effing powerless in America. There's so much need. There's like visible need of people who are living outside of the loving bonds of community and do not even have the basic material, required for living.
Well, mate, don't say that in California, because the people say that the biggest bonds, the strongest bonds of community are amongst the homeless inside their little tent cities in Venice or in the downtown. And I once said, we've got to help these homeless people. This is early doors.
Yeah.
I said, well, God, I feel terrible. You know, I said, as an Australian, we don't have this kind of homelessness.
Yeah, you just want to help.
It genuinely breaks your heart. And this person scolded me at a gig and said, they don't need your help. They're experiencing something we don't have. It's called community. So, like, why would you want to break them up from their choice?
Just because you're so unhappy that you think that's a good... I spoke to a Persian driver on my way from this experience. When I got up 4 hours after that interaction and got on the plane to come to Washington. And we were talking about Persia. And it was like, yeah, Persia's got Iran, all these issues. I said, you got a lot of homeless in
Persia? His name Darius? It often is.
Xerxes. Xerxes the 700th. He's the direct...
they got two names.
Oh, so Zoroaster was giving me a lift to the airport. And I said, you got homeless in Iran? He said, no, not really. Here, so many. And I thought... Like, this has to be reckoned with, right? Like, that there are certain types of society that generate homelessness.
Yeah.
And certain ones that don't. And Australia doesn't generate huge numbers of homelessness the way America does. What's happening in America to generate this?
Mental illness. It was the confluence between left and right wing. Left wing people thought that mental institutions were cruel and it was not right to put people in mental institutions. They had the freedom... You know, to be crazy, essentially. And then right-wing people wanted to cut budgets.
Yeah, save money.
And so they closed them down, and these people just
wander around. That's what I'm running
on.
In my first term of office, that nurse who cuts part of your brain out is back on the scene.
Oh, you go like this. I'd like to introduce the new Secretary of Health, Nurse Ratched.
Yeah, Nurse Ratched's coming back. We need a couple more to fly over the cuckoo's nest. Yeah.
We're calling it Operation Cuckoo's Nest. There's going to be a nest in every city.
This... annoys me so much. That's what psychotherapy used to be for, was helping people who were going, you know, who were off their rockers. And now we've gone, oh, you know, it's nicer than having a facility where they get help and care and food and clothes and medicine, and like we try and rehabilitate them into society. The street, that seems like a kind of, let's have free range mental illness out there. And then although it's not like we lost the healthcare, mental health industry, these people just decided to start making money by, instead of using their skills to help people who actually need them, they just help psychopaths climb the corporate ladder. That's what your mental health, that's who's using therapy, is people who have boring,
therapy isn't
ugly,
for
bad
people
jobs so they can make more money.
Who are deeply chemically disturbed. It's people blaming their shitty actions on their dad missing their piano
Somebody
recital.
Where's in this one? Somebody, I did it too. Yeah, it's evil. No, if you make $100,000 a year and you don't need a suicide ward, don't have therapy.
Did I tell you about my...
This episode of the James Dolan Force Catamaran Plan brought to you by BetterHelp. Put the middle... Press the middle button of your Roku device to access a therapist.
I told you about my
now.
Company? My company?
What's your company?
It undercuts BetterHelp. It's called Help. We don't say it's better, but it is help. It's essentially chat roulette where the therapists are just regular people. You go on there, you say your problems, and you just get regular people's advice.
Can I tell you...
Help!
This is a sketch idea Taylor came up with.
I'm feeling really depressed at the moment. Fag!
Weak. The sketch she came up with, we would do this voice with each other. And I'm sort of using it for the opening scene of the movie, but it's the not so bad hotline.
It's not so bad.
You call up and they go, dog, I'm not doing well. It's not so bad. It's not what so do you bad. Mean? It's not so bad. We'd say that. It's not so bad. I'm depressed. You go for a walk? You have a big glass of water? It's not so bad.
Yeah, you could get my grandfather on that, the Croatian man.
Yeah.
What problem?
What problem?
What problem? You tell me what problem.
You're very weak.
You know his philosophy? If you want to be happy, you must stand. Because at least at the end of the day when you sit, that's the good. If a man has sit all day, now he need to lie. If a man a lie all day or watch a telly, what next? Heroin. That's what problem. People lazy need heroin, need the drug, need the sex, because no bloody do nothing. Number one, happiness, hot day, glass of water. If you know in the heat, you need the wine. You need a Coca-Cola. That's how he says
Coca-Cola?
He never says Coke. He always goes Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
His huge respect for the real name of the product. The Coca-Cola. I know what Coca-Cola when work hard.
I forget who was telling me about the immigrant dad, but like it's a big thing for him. Someone, I think it was on the podcast, but someone was like, he loves... yes! The Serb, Alex.
Alex, yeah.
He was like, his dad would, or his grandfather would go, well, you like Pepsi? This is a huge thing. It was like, come in, I give you Pepsi. Pepsi, like this was a huge. You get to share Pepsi with people. Oh, I'm doing very well.
I used
Australia.
To get I used to get Coke, and then I, well, not Coke, Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
I did Coca-Cola, and then he would pull out a big leg of speck, and I'd go to cut it myself, and that was sacrilege. He would get out a special
speck.
Speck is like a prosciutto, but fattier.
And
he would just cut me a hock of speck, and I would sit there, and I would have Coca-Cola, and then when I turned 14, I got wine. But the wine was out of the Coca-Cola bottle because he made his own.
What?
It's sweet wine that he made.
They would make family wine in Coca-Cola bottles?
Yeah, we'd fill it in Coca-Cola bottles. So he would go over there. And
he pioneered the plastic wine bottle.
He had the plastic wine bottle. He was the best. I mean, he's still alive, but you know, I'm not going to go see him. He's hard to talk to. His hearing aid's annoying. But
it is tough with the old...
What was I going to tell you about?
It'll be tough for us too.
About the Croatians. Oh yeah, so I actually did a BetterHelp.
Oh, you did a BetterHelp?
Yeah, I want to tell you about this.
What, did you also do a blue chew and shave your pubes? You got a Squarespace website and some
Me undies.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Is what did it for you the incredible BetterHelp commercials on The Rest Is History?
Probably.
I just want to share the most insane ad where they go, dealing with anxiety can be difficult. As Tom says that, and then Dominic says, you know, Winston Churchill, on the eve of the Second World War, said that he had the greatest night's sleep of his life because he'd been so concerned with the opportunity to test himself in a cataclysmic struggle that when it finally came, he was at peace. Of course, Tom, not everyone's that good at dealing with anxiety, and some people might need better help.
You know, King Louis XIV had a lot on his plate. If only he'd had someone to talk to.
To help him recharge
outside of the courtiers.
His emotional batteries.
So I opted, after sending a letter with stamps.com, to...
Dear BetterHelp. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
I took some alpha brain.
When did this happen?
I wanted to do one session.
Is this recently?
Yeah, I was like, I need some CBT.
Is this today?
No, I needed some help with my girlfriend.
I'm trying desperately to place the time. You don't want to say when this happened.
No, because my girlfriend wanted me to get help about how to be better to her. She says that I'm severely autistic. Now, I had to talk to this man about being snappy. You're
becoming more autistic as this story's going on.
And he said to me, he goes, he was really not good for me. I explained the problem I'm having with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, it's always best to do this together with the couple rather than by yourself.
She not want to do therapy? No.
And I go, I'm omitting details and getting weird because I don't know how much
I'm
sharing.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
So
we
anyway,
all have problems.
He goes, yeah, often I get the husbands in here saying, I've been sent to therapy.
Yeah.
And often I think, really? Well, then she should be here. And then I get them to come, and I often end up slapped. Because I tell you what, most of the time it's the wife that needs the bloody therapy. And as soon as he said this, I went, this guy is wrong for me. I don't need more of this influence in my life.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, listen, Amos, your problems are actually very normal. We don't need prolonged sessions. I think you've got some issues in talking to women about feelings. I'm going to give you 3 cue cards of things you can say to them. That sounds terrible. It must have been a long day at the office dealing with that. Because, okay, most of the problems were my girlfriend would come home from work and she'd want to talk about some gossip issues with staff.
Yeah.
And I just don't
You wanted to talk about Tucker Carlson's talking points.
I'd be like, I'd go, Annika, they're not sealing the border the way that I think they should.
Mike Pompeo might have a back door to eventually getting into this administration.
These neocons are disguising themselves.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So I go, okay. And he just gives me 3 cue cards and goes, honestly, mate, you just need to learn these. If it doesn't come natural to you, just say this. Just say to her, that sounds like it must have been really difficult. Yeah. Do you want to tell me some more about how it went? Don't offer to fix it. Don't even go into roasting the person, because you'll roast the woman in a way that she doesn't like.
Yeah.
Just say, and what did you say?
What did you say?
And how did you feel about that?
How was that for you?
Well, I told Annika about it immediately. Yeah. And she was like, you cannot see this guy anymore. He can't just give you cheat codes to my emotions.
Cheat codes. Up, down, down, BY.
He was a real... And I think I feel like when you enter the code of the podcast that you got...
Yeah.
They code you from what podcast you've been listening to a therapist that matches that.
Oh, that would be interesting.
So I think maybe I'd picked up the code off like Rogan or Rest Is History. So they're like, I think it was Rest Is History. So they're like, oh, this is a bro.
Yeah.
You know, but if I'd come from Call Her Daddy, I probably would have got a different therapist.
Well, my therapist off BetterHelp just thought I had AIDS because I listened to very gay. I don't know. No, I guess they, I would never do it.
Well, I've done therapy one time in my life, and it was company mandated. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It was awful.
I was sent to a therapist because I was difficult to manage at that radio show.
Yeah, because it was an evil work environment.
Terrible work environment. And
I went once
he agreed
during the
with
pandemic.
Us.
Yeah, I went during the pandemic. I actually had a terrible experience. I talk about this on stage one time. But I went thinking I had a little bit of ADHD, and I just started to... But we'd been locked up for months in Melbourne. And so we're going through all the things... And he's like, right, well, I don't know that this is ADHD. I think this might be manic depression. Because he got all sorts of crap out of me. Yep. I went wearing, I was a mess. I hadn't left the house except for this for 2 months or something. And he goes, are you feeling a roller coaster of emotions? I was like, yeah, very hard to control the emotions. I feel like lights flowing through. Like, I was feeling all sorts of crazy solitary confinement stuff. And we got out of there. And Tay was like, did you get the ADHD diagnosis? I was like, no, he wants to send me to a mental hospital, I think. And I was like, because it's confidentiality. If you don't,
I got this brand new jacket. It's all white. It keeps me still.
I got calls. Yeah. I got calls from a mental hospital who wanted me to come in for months.
Yeah.
It was the way you explain... I think we're smart enough that we could get any diagnosis we were. If I went in and said,
girls on TikTok, right?
I want an autism diagnosis. I want an ADHD diagnosis. I want a manic depression diagnosis. I want a BPD diagnosis. I could get it to match up, I think.
What's so people get these eventually. Ticks off TikTok because if you actually fall into the TikTok algorithm of people that suffer a disease,
yeah.
If you watch it for long enough, you start to convince yourself that you have... These
I've
problems
into trouble
also.
For this. I don't want to go into this one. I once wrote a poem about that. these young women with canes, all these young women who have appeared with canes, and then all these...
Why was there a problem with that?
Crippled. Well, it's because they think they've got a real disease.
They do.
Yeah, the brain.
They have a mental fragility.
I mean, women are weaker physically than men, and they used to faint all the time, and we would have special couches everywhere for them.
Dude, it's like any algorithm.
Now we don't have enough couches, so they need canes.
Do you think you could get into an algorithm that makes you a communist?
I think I'm in an algorithm that's making me a communist. They're getting some of the labor union ones who are like, I need to join together, and I feel very strong. No, the wouldn't it be nice to be changed?
You know,
I
was always interested in those think tanks they would do in the Cold War, where they would put you into a Soviet think tank here in Washington.
Oh,
and the idea was to beat our enemy, we have to know how our enemy would think.
So we'll get you to become a communist.
We're going to make you a communist. We're going to give you communist literature. We're going to give you what they see, the television they see, the movies they see, the music they listen to. You're going to read their articles, and you're going to have professors who would teach you like you were at an elite school in Moscow.
And they genuinely became communists?
And many of them, on their way out after being into that for a year or six months, would be put on watch lists and sometimes were banned entering certain positions.
Because they were too successful.
Because they were too successful of giving them
the other side,
anti-capitalist rhetoric. And so could you imagine if you have that level of brainwashing you're able to do it for either side, I think you could convince me that I have a limp.
Not here in Washington. Not in Washington, with these beautiful buildings and those statues I saw today, I was ready to wage an imperialist war for the United States. It's so beautiful. I saw where John Quincy Adams sat. I saw the statues that he would gaze up on, the weirdly full-nippled statue of a lady on a boat in the original house. Also, I know that it's because the 13 states came together in the join or die thing, but having a massive statue of a serpent overlooking the house with its jaws, it is satanic.
See, the one that
that's a satanic visual element.
The one I like about them more, I don't even feel American pride so much as derision to the Brits, which I love. I love the portrait of...
Oh, you like tearing the Brits down?
I love General Cornwallis.
I don't know nothing about...
General Cornwallis, there's a big portrait of him.
Okay.
In that room where they had the...
Tell me
potential
more.
Hillary Clinton statue.
Oh, yeah.
So General Cornwallis was the one who surrendered to America.
Oh,
to America. So he was the general. He also surrendered...
I try not to look too much in this very dark chapter of my colonial history.
Well, General Cornwallis also surrendered to Napoleon. So he has the dishonor
loser.
He had to surrender twice. He's one of the great losers.
Oh, his name should go down. Oh, and I guess it has gone down.
And he's like got this really sad... He's the one that what's the legendary British actor in The Patriot? He plays him.
I've never seen The Patriot.
Tom Wilkinson.
And I don't think I've ever seen Braveheart start to finish.
Oh,
I've only seen Signs. It's the only Mel Gibson movie I watch, but I watch it a lot. I love Signs. It's no Stuart Little. It's better. Now, hold on. Oh, 51 minutes of pod.
We haven't even done anything interesting. That's why we always make me come and lay down.
What, you wanted to do something interesting on the podcast?
I always thought we'd have a desk and...
Oh, well, I'll tell you.
You know, we'd do some topical news.
I'll tell you my idea for the
damn
for your
jokes
podcast.
In there. I don't want to...
Well, I have an idea for you. You need a podcast. Topical jokes. Do you want to hit them with some topical...
Like they're going to care.
All right. Well, that's a nice fizzle out.
No. Hold on. I've learned anything about America, it's that you've got to prepare, James.
Mm.
It's a prepper country.
Yeah.
You prepping?
No. What are you prepping for?
Well, you know, you get water, you get tin food.
Yeah.
You buy a Harris Waltz sign so FEMA will look after you in a cyclone.
Nice.
Come on, folks.
Nice.
But seriously, James.
That was last week that would have been.
I know, that's why I said I've given up on this.
Yeah.
But here's the tag. It depends on the disaster. America is so politically divided. You need to have enough signs for each wing to be looked after in a disaster. If your house is burning down, firemen are more conservative. One day, firemen will look at you and go, "Yo, how many genders is there?" You go, "Two." Let it rip, boys. Something like that.
That house is flaming.
The only flames we like is the ones in the wood. The flamers, we let them burn. Something. Actually, there's a lot of homosexual firemen.
Yeah, it's your premise of firemen would never want gay dudes to survive is deeply questionable.
Well,
the least, maybe the least politicized men in uniform in America. You haven't gone with the police being like anti-black. You've gone with firemen hate gays. That stereotype that we're all deeply familiar with of the homophobic fire person. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the James Donald Forbes McCann.
Cut all that out. I was not serious. Don't you dare.
That was all good.
Don't you dare put that in.
That was all good.
Go away.
That was all good.
It's not good at all.
No, there's no problem with any of that.
James.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.